Hey, this is Randall.
And this is John.
From the Don't Wake the Kids podcast.
You're listening to our favorite podcast,
Weird. I hope you're ready for some funny.
Ace Podcast.
Weird.
Hello, I cut you off.
That's good music right there.
Yeah, it is good. That's Mark Patch right there.
You can have that music on your iPhone.
You can go to Apple Music. It's out there.
Yeah, it is.
iTunes, you can buy it.
And it's cheap.
Yeah, it is.
Just look for weird, what's it called? Weird soundtrack, I believe.
Just look up Mark Patch, M-A-R-C.
How you doing, Craig?
Mark spells his name a little different. I'm doing pretty good, you know. Since the last episode, you know.
This is episode 120.
Yeah, certain things have happened.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because there's space between the shows.
Absolutely, there is.
Yeah, it's been like 7 days that have happened.
No, not seven.
6 days, 4 days.
It was Friday, now it's Monday.
Yeah, that's right. There's 3 days there, so
that's
I'm talking
exactly
about.
Right. You know what episode 120 means, though? 80 more, we hit 200.
Yes, we are. But, you know, I can't help but take pause for a minute and stop and think about my love for candy.
Even after Halloween a couple weeks ago or whatever it was?
I do love candy.
Me too.
And you would, if I had a club...
There is.
No. I'm talking about a candy club.
Like something you could hit me on the head with?
No, like I could join and they would just mail candy to me every month for a really reasonable price.
You're talking about candyclub.com.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that was all set up.
But don't go to candyclub.com. Hey. Go to weirdnewspodcast.com and click on our little, we got a little, if you look where, it's a little blue link.
Yeah.
And it's right above our voicemail button.
But you have to go on your computer because
you
mobile doesn't work
you
for
do.
Some reason.
And I love Candy Club.
Did you notice how I just like our listener's smarter than that, but yeah. I acted like I was like,
yeah,
I was doing a little acting there.
Not really good. No. You need to leave the acting to your daughter.
Yeah.
She's really good.
Maybe. Well, how would you know?
Well, because I saw her green at Walmart one time. She was acting like the green person.
Oh.
I walked into Walmart and your daughter was green.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird.
That did happen.
It really did.
Yeah.
I think but Candy Club.
Yeah. Candy Club. That's good. You know why?
Why?
Because... You get good candy in the mail.
Really
and
good
it comes
candy.
In space age packaging.
It really does.
Looks like it came from space, according to you.
Comes with bonus candy. And the candy that you order, you know, I go in and pick mine. They'll pick it for you.
And here's the
if
thing.
You want.
They go out in the field and they pick
no,
the candy.
No, they do not.
Now, I'm gonna be honest with our listener.
Go ahead.
You've got Candy Club.
I do.
I have not yet gotten Candy
I love
Club.
It too. Lori doesn't really well, actually she likes
no,
it. Lori
is on board
yeah.
because she ate all of your almonds.
Yes, she did.
But I'm
and
not,
the gummies. She ate the whole pack. She ate that whole shipment.
Yeah.
I got zip.
Well, so here's the thing.
Yeah.
I just want to be honest. I don't want somebody saying, hey, those guys are saying this is great, blah, 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 but they don't do it. No. You are a Candy Club member.
Card carrying
Candy Club packing member.
That's right.
I am not yet.
And I will be for a long time because there's so many candies they have to option. And I haven't got the same thing twice yet. But I am going to reorder the penguins. The gummy penguins?
Yeah, you love
oh,
those.
Oh, they're
you,
so
you
good.
You did like those. But hey, here's the deal. We don't want to waste all of our show talking about this. But hey, go to weirdnewspodcast.com and look for that little link that's a special deal for users.
Yeah.
Users? Listeners.
Yeah.
Not users like drug users.
I'm no, not saying candy
you guys,
users.
I'm not saying you guys are drug users. I mean, well, maybe one of them, two of them.
Hey, but what can they expect on this episode?
Probably
Craig?
More fun like we're having right now.
We got a
probably
boss.
Probably less talking about Candy Club.
We have a boss who fires his drivers with a note.
Yeah, that is one of my new favorites.
Yes, it is. But it's not. That's not a way to let somebody go.
It's not a way to
right.
let somebody go.
Right.
Frankenstein born in Florida on Halloween.
What?
Yep.
Frankenstein.
It's right there.
Shooter McGavin. Arrested for DUI.
Shooter McGavin.
Yep.
Taxidermy squirrels. Well, that's nothing weird.
We've
that's
got
normal.
144 nice things about an ex-girlfriend.
And more.
You got the and more that time.
Hey, you know what? This time I got the top story.
Okay, well, tonight's top story.
Top story.
I really wish you quit screaming like that. Kind of startles me when you do it. Carl's Jr. And for those of you in the South, Hardee's.
Yeah.
Carl's Jr. in Santa Rosa survives wildfires.
Good news.
Then it catches fire while making burgers for the first responders of wildfires. Oh, wow.
That's a great headline.
Carl's Jr. on Industrial Drive in Santa Rosa.
Santa Rosa.
Survived the October 9th Tubbs fire. They call it the Tubbs Fire?
Yeah, I guess.
Is that what they call it?
Old Man Tubbs started it.
While other buildings around it were destroyed, it was not so lucky Thursday, though.
Oh, no.
While in the midst of preparing 165 Superstar with cheese double burgers
yum.
For first responders. No, take not that, yum, because you don't want
take
the cheese.
Take that cheese off, I'd be all over those things.
In the Fountain Grove area, a kitchen fire damaged the fast food restaurant. Like, we made it through the big one only to get taken out by this, said franchise owner, co-owner, Greg Funkhauser.
Fire. The fire was going to get them no matter
what. It's going to be a while before we reopen, man. The kitchen crew was halfway through filling the large order when a grease fire ignited in the charbroiler. Ooh, charbroilers are so good. That's what Burger King uses.
Oh, yeah.
And jumped into the exhaust system just after 11 a.m.
Ooh, early morning fire.
The charbroilers are high temperature, Funkhauser said.
I wish my name was Funkhauser.
That's great.
He should be in a band.
Maybe he is.
On bass, Funkhauser.
There was so much meat going through them all at one time when it happened.
They were overworking the charbroiler.
There's a lot of grease.
Yeah.
Typical charbroilers can burn at more than 700 degrees.
That's hot.
Funkhauser characterized the inside of the building as being completely torn up, man. They chainsawed big holes into the roof.
It's burn up is what it is.
The Santa Rosa Fire Department controlled the fire in 15 minutes. Damage was estimated at $75,000.
Oh, that's a lot of burgers.
The six employees in the building escaped unharmed. The Tubbs fire destroyed a Kmart, Arby's, and other businesses in the area around Carl's Jr. at 3640 Industrial Drive.
Are Kmart still around?
Barely.
You remember when I was a kid, we didn't have Walmart. It's like a latecomer.
We had Zaire. We had Big K.
We had Kmart. Yeah. That's where we went. We went to Kmart.
Yeah. I'm not saying this isn't a good story, but I want to get back to Funkhauser.
Funkhauser.
The Carl's Jr. was not damaged, but I just shut you down.
I don't care. You know, and it doesn't affect me at all.
Oh, good. Good. Just sit over there.
Now Walmarts are everywhere, and you can't find a Kmart.
There's one down the road from us.
Well, that one doesn't count.
It doesn't count. What was that?
I got choked up, all right? It's the asthma.
So the Carl's Jr., I keep trying to tell you, was not damaged, and it remained closed until October 19th, Funkhauser said. The orders for the burgers was placed by a business in the Fountain Grove area, but the customer who arrived to pick it up saw there were six Santa Rosa fire trucks in the parking lot and left, he said. I ended up, this is Funkhauser again, ready?
Yeah.
I ended up handing out free burgers to anyone around, man.
And every time he gave a burger to somebody, they said, "Hey, we want the Funkhauser. Gotta have the Funkhauser."
Do you not learn from your mistakes? Remember the Ghostbusters ordeal?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. You're
repeating it.
I am not. Okay, headline.
You know what? I think it's best that we leave Funkhauser where he is. By the way, I just want to say,
yeah,
and I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this. I'm, you know, because Carl's Jr., their corporate offices, they're a big listener of this podcast.
Yeah. They should sponsor us. Hey, we'll work for food. We work for candy.
I want to tell them right now that if they're listening, the burgers at Hardee's used to be really good.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they must have gotten a deal from the same place that gives schools the soybean burgers.
Oh, crap.
Their burgers have gone down the tubes.
I haven't had one in a long time.
Then for a while, the thick burgers were a big deal.
Yeah. And they were
and
good.
They were
I had those.
Awesome.
Yeah, really
they
good.
They were great.
They were steakhouse
they
thick burgers.
So yeah. Horrid last time I had
you sure it's not just our little small town
party? They may have broken protocol and gone to their own thing. You know, I did go into our KFC one time and the
do you have a GPS?
Random story.
Did you have a GPS?
No.
Greg's random story.
But I did go into our KFC when they first opened and I got some extra crispy.
Darn, I wish I had a KFC theme I could play with this also.
Yeah, it would be nice if you had actually added the KFC theme that I gave you. Dang, I hate you right now.
Go ahead with your interesting story.
So,
I'll hold my headline.
I got extra crispy chicken, right?
Yeah.
And it did not look like any sort of KFC crispy I'd ever gotten before.
Yeah.
And I said, "What's this all about?" And they literally said, "Oh, we've got our own recipe." I'm like, "What is this?"
I love this little town. But this little town, Craig.
But here's the deal.
It's exploding.
You do not just make up your own
dish. No, you can't do that.
I should be able to go to Sheboygan and get
the
same
exact crunchy
chicken. You've
got to have 11 herbs chicken. And spices.
Exactly.
Yes.
Some of them being Spice Girl, some being named Herb.
Exactly.
But my point being that you don't just say, it's like going to Big Mac.
The Colonel wouldn't stand for it.
Getting a Big Mac at the McDonald's here, and they go, "Oh, that's just our version of it."
Yeah,
no,
it comes out looking
way.
Like a Hardee's burger. You say, "Wait, this isn't a Big Mac."
But you're right. This little town's exploding.
It really is.
No, literally, the fire trucks are down there. It's been exploding for a while.
It's kind of heartbreaking because we've been here 20 years, you know, and it was a little bitty town. Didn't have a Walmart. Didn't even have a Kroger when we moved here.
No, what? No?
We had owls. We had big owls.
Hey.
Yeah.
So speaking of Tom Petty.
Was I?
Yeah. Because you were talking
Don't come around here no more.
I started watching the, this is another random story, but don't play it.
You got to have a lot of time to watch that documentary.
I watched the first hour so far because I figured I'd take it in chunks. It's a 4-hour documentary.
Yes.
It makes the Eagles the Eagles documentary seemed like an after-school special. Like, it's 4 hours. And it's and the Tom Petty thing, it's Peter Bogdanovich, who's a great director.
Yeah.
I love Last Picture Show. That's one of my favorite movies. I love that movie. And
it's okay.
Have you ever seen The Last Picture Show? You've never seen, have you ever seen it?
Yes.
You have not seen Last Picture
Show.
Yeah,
it's good.
It's a great movie.
It's okay.
Shut up. So, you also like the new Blade Runner. So, anyway.
And Suburbicon
was amazing. I actually forgot what I was going to say. Oh, Tom Petty.
Oh, good.
So,
oh, you remember.
What a great documentary.
Okay. Headline is, I can't work with you a moment longer.
I can't work with you either. You know what? I'm out of here.
Boss fires bus drivers with a blunt note.
I love this.
The boss of a Somerset bus company who took his fleet off the road without warning and sent staff a brusque and foul-mouthed note explaining he could no longer bear to work with them a moment longer has been criticized by drivers, mechanics, and even passengers.
I celebrate him for being honest.
You know what the name of the company is?
What?
Nippy Bus.
It's Nippy Bus. He's a little nippy.
Staff at Nippy Bus said that they were out of pocket and desperately searching for new jobs to pay their bills. Well, join the club.
That sounds familiar.
If you get fired, you're going to have to get out there and find something else.
Yeah.
While hundreds of passengers from children to pensioners were left trying to find a way to get to school, work, and shops, and to keep their medical appointments. That's not the owner's problem. Call Uber.
Well, when he fired everybody, he should have paid them what he owed them.
Oh, yeah, he should have done that,
but
for sure.
The way he went about it is classic.
Campaigners said the Nippy Bus station highlighted problems faced by under-pressure bus services, especially in the very rural, that's a hard word for me to say, like all words, across the UK.
Do you think their jingle was something like,
in a memo.
You think their jingle was something like, ride with us, we're Nippy Bus!
In an internal
memo
to staff.
Well, that just went through the red, didn't it?
Sidney Hardy, age 57, explained in no uncertain terms that he was getting off after 13 years in charge of Nippy Bus, which is based in the village of Martock. You know where that is?
Near Yeovil.
That's right. He wrote, there's a difference between coming up and knowing that you've had it enough.
Was he Australian? Long,
no, but this is as good, as close as he's going.
But his name is Sydney,
tonight.
So that's close enough.
Yes. I had enough note. I've had enough.
I've had enough of you.
And realize I cannot work with you, the people I employ, a moment longer.
I don't blame him. They're horrible people.
There comes a time in any relationship when you just have to say, forget it.
Forget about it.
Say goodbye and move on. And this is my time. I'm quitting to pursue my dream of not having to work here.
I just noticed that's not... I just,
what a great word.
I just noticed when I read that again that that's not what he said.
Well, it said, this last sentence, I'm quitting to pursue my dream of not having to work here. That was his dream.
I love that.
Hardy added, the gates are now closed and will not open, so you can just stay in your scratches and have a lie-in. So he's saying, don't even get out of bed. I had to interpret that. The gates were indeed closed on Wednesday, and Hardy was not available for further comment. A security guard was posted at the fence and fetched possessions for employees who arrived from time to time. Hey, would you go back there and grab my lunch kit for me?
Could you go over there and get my sandwich?
Please, it's right there. It's the bologna. Some were also handed pay slips, though they said no money had gone into their banks. Driver Terry Lehman said he got gobsmacked.
Yes, he did.
When he went on the company site to check the rota and came across Hardy's note.
What's the rota?
I don't know, but he checked it.
Okay.
How can a human being do that to his colleagues? It's disgusting, he said. Another driver, Steve Atkins.
Oh, it's a list showing when each of a number of people has to do a particular job.
So it's a time chart.
Kind of like a schedule.
Yeah, schedule. Time schedule.
So this is in England somewhere, I guess.
Staff are in total shock, adding, everybody's got mortgages and bills to pay. I've had to ring up and cancel all my direct debits. There's no way I can cover them.
And how's he going to get his money?
And that's sad.
How's he going to get his money to go back to Australia?
That's sad, too. But you know what? People get fired. Companies close.
Ride with us with Nippy Bus.
It happens.
In Florida, the Nippy Bus.
Did you like that?
No.
Why not?
Because it was weird.
Baby named Frankenstein, born at Florida Hospital on Halloween.
Well, that's just weird.
No, that's just opportunist. They just said, oh, Halloween, let's name our kid Frankenstein.
I wonder if they named him Monster.
What about Frank and his middle name's
Nevin.
One.
Naven, like Naven Johnson?
Yeah. I love Naven. Winter Park, Florida, one Altamont Springs couple.
Did you say Antimont? Antimont. Can't you say Altamont? Say Altamont. You can say it. Can't you say Altamont?
It's not funny when you do it. People love it when I do it to you. But when you're going to try to be funny like that with me.
Antimont? Where's Antimont Springs?
It's Altamont Springs.
Oh, you got it that time.
Well, you lost all credibility when you said McDonald's, then said Ronald McDonald. So that's all I got to say about that. They got an extra treat for Halloween. Their baby, Oscar Gray Frankenstein.
Oscar Gray Frankenstein. That could be the name of the
monster. This is misleading. Was the last name really Frankenstein? So,
yes.
So that they didn't name him Frankenstein. That was his name no matter when he was
but
born.
But Oscar Gray? I mean, what monster are you looking for? Well, he's kind of Oscar Gray. You know, it's like a color.
But
he's
green.
An Oscar Gray Frankenstein.
I thought Frankenstein was kind of greenish.
No, he's gray because he's, you know, he's dead.
You seem to know a lot about
Herman Munster was green.
Yeah, I like Herman. Herman was awesome.
That show stands the test of time
it's
so well.
An awesome show.
Hilarious.
And it was cut short in its prime.
Oh, so sad.
Hey, anywho, can I get back to this? So he was born in Winter Park Memorial Hospital at 2:57 p.m. on Tuesday. Kyle and Jessica Frankenstein.
Oh, it's Frankenstein.
Frankenstein were planning to welcome their baby boy into the world Saturday, but grandmother Jennifer Frankenstein said her family had a suspicion that little Oscar's birth would coincide with the holiday. They kept, like, making her run up and down steps and stuff. It's like, keep
hurry
moving,
up.
Keep moving.
Hurry up, we got to get to horseback riding next.
Yeah. He was due 4 days ago, and he decided to wait until Halloween, Jennifer Frankenstein
Why
said.
Why does she talk that way?
Because she's a Frankenstein.
What if your name was Frankenstein? Then that poor kid.
I know.
I mean, he's going to be, whew, I'd never tell anybody my last name. My name's Oscar. Oscar Gray.
Yes, Oscar Gray. Gray. Oscar Gray.
Yeah.
Jennifer Frankenstein. I like Frankenstein better.
Sure, why not?
Said Oscar is her first grandchild and the first with her namesake born on Halloween, although she does have a 13-year-old daughter who shares the same birthday as Frankenstein author Mary Shelley.
Now, that's a coincidence right there.
Coink-a-dink.
Yeah.
Everyone's safe and sound, and we're super excited, Jennifer Frankenstein said. I can't not say Frankenstein now.
Everybody's safe and sound.
Okay, anybody who has never watched Young Frankenstein,
you should.
Out of the room.
Really good movie. Great movie.
If you don't know what we're talking about, out of the room.
Headline is, Shooter McGavin arrested for DUI. Actor plays the I was in Happy Gilmore card.
Who is Shooter McGavin?
He was in Happy Gilmore.
I understand that, but who is he?
Christopher McDonald has appeared in nearly 200 films.
Well, I know who Christopher McDonald. Okay, that was his character with
yes.
Shooter McGavin.
Yeah, gotcha. He will forever be known as Shooter McGavin.
Well,
his legendary
Thelma and Louise.
His legendary character in an incredibly unrealistic golf film, Happy Gilmore. Clearly, these Los Angeles cops have never seen the movie. Did you just compare Thelma and Louise
no,
to Happy
it.
Gilmore?
No, he's in it.
You shouldn't even put those in the same story. You shouldn't have brought that movie up.
I'm just saying he's in that movie.
That's a lousy movie.
Thelma and Louise?
Yes.
Whatever.
Why is our voice go so high?
I don't know. I don't know, but I don't like the way you're talking.
On Saturday night, McGavin, also known as his real name, McDonald, was arrested for drunk driving in the Lake Arrowhead area of Los Angeles, according to TMZ, who obtained his all-time mugshot. It's a horrible look. You think, yeah, pull that up and take a
I'm going to show it to everybody.
The 62-year-old actor reportedly lost control of his Porsche and crashed into a gas meter at around 9 p.m. Before cops took him into custody, an eyewitness says McDonald told them he appeared in Happy Gilmore. And let's see how it played out for him. But believe it or not, L.A.'s finest were not amused. They took McDonald to a local jail to sober up before he can be released without bail. He had won the tour championship. Something tells us things would have gone a little differently had he won. Yes.
I've seen a lot worse.
No. That makes
he's funny. He's a really good actor.
He is funny.
He's been in a bunch of stuff.
He usually plays a snob.
He's a character actor.
Yeah. Yeah, but I like him. And when he's not drinking.
Yeah. So is that the end of that story?
That's it.
This one's mine. Survey says. Okay. What you talking about, headline?
Dang, it's a trifecta.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of weird people out there. Why these taxidermied squirrels are selling out.
Have you bought your taxidermied squirrel yet?
No.
I want one that's dressed up like George Washington. I'm going to call him Squirrely Washington.
Okay.
But go ahead and read the story.
Would that be okay with you? UConn-based artist Cindy Klippenstein. Not to be confused with Oscar Gray Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Is the first to admit her sense of humor is quirky.
Oh, we needed to send her a link to this show.
Yes, she would like it because we're lovable.
Yeah.
She first stumbled into the world of squirrel art, quote-unquote, by accident. Klippenstein was teaching herself how to taxidermy smaller animals. Was she Norman Bates? When she accidentally cut off a squirrel leg.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's when she realized it would make a great pirate. it's the art evolving.
You know what the pirate's favorite band is?
No, shut up. She you got to get a new joke, okay? Because it's a stupid
that's
joke.
That's a great punchline, though.
Stupid joke.
REO Speedwagon.
She knows her work isn't for everyone, but living somewhere that trapping and hunting are commonplace, it's been a hit. People in the Yukon have a good sense of humor and can relate to it.
You got to have a good sense of humor to live in the Yukon.
You got nothing else. Aside from hosting several art shows in Whitehorse. That's very racist. She also runs an online store on Etsy called Fur and Loathing.
Oh,
that's funny.
That is funny.
Where people from around the world contact her to create custom squirrel designs.
You think she'll make me a squirrel in Washington?
If for a price, yeah.
Will you get me that for Christmas?
No. You don't like Christmas.
I hate Christmas.
Two of her squirrels, a matching bride and groom squirrel, wound up adorning the top of a wedding. That's unsanitary.
That's not good.
Klippenstein's work often borrows from pop culture icons like Madonna, Slash, and Star Wars. She never imagined the painting and sculpting skills she learned at the University of Manitoba would go towards working with squirrels.
I took a sculpting class.
That's a good story. But it's a niche corner of the design world that's larger than one might think, she says. Those familiar with the world-famous Gopher Hole Museum
love
in Torrington know that Klippenstein isn't the first one to dress furry rodents up and put them in human-like settings.
The Dinner Party. Did you ever see that movie?
No.
Because he took mice and made famous scenes out of stuffed mice.
That also is a good story. All of Klippenstein's squirrels.
You're so hard.
I just have to get through the story. I'll never get through. This is like nine paragraphs. All of Klippenstein's squirrels are donated to her from trappers who accidentally snag smaller game, and she's always delightfully surprised by people's reactions to the squirrels when she displays them in Whitehorse. It's not your typical art gallery opening, she says with a laugh.
No, say it with a laugh.
It's not. Oh, it's not your typical.
So she gets them donated to her by trappers. I wonder if Trapper John MD's ever given her a squirrel. Headline is Pakistani.
Pernell Roberts passed away, okay?
Headline is Pakistani woman plots to kill husband, ends up poisoning 15 in-laws by mistake.
That is a plan that went wrong.
So this lady not only, they like push under the rug the fact that she wanted to kill her husband. She poisons 15 in-laws. A woman in Pakistan is alleged to have fatally poisoned 15 of her in-laws. I didn't know that part. In a botched effort to kill her husband and escape her arranged marriage. Golly,
look at this
creepy.
Way. You got rid of all the people that were forcing you to be married to him.
The incident occurred in the Punjab region on Friday, the Express Tribune reports. Isaiah Bibi was forced into an arranged marriage to Amjad in September. Muzgraf police
said.
I'm
so glad you've got this one.
She tried to escape from her husband but failed. You know, that arranged marriage thing is it's dangerous. Obviously, half the family just got killed.
Did you see a guy, this is an arranged marriage, but the guy that was in one of the Arab countries, I forget recently, like last week, killed himself live on Facebook.
Ooh.
Because his daughter was engaged to someone he didn't approve of.
Oh, from Sundabar?
I don't know.
That's just the only place I could think of.
You just made that up.
No, it's a place.
No, I mean, you just made that up. You didn't know where it was.
No, I didn't know where it was.
But he apparently, like he shot himself right there.
That's terrible.
It is terrible.
Can I get back to my story?
And I've also seen in India where they've done the same thing where they've like murdered their own family members because they didn't like the thing or whatever.
Attempted to poison her husband, but he didn't drink the milk which she had spiked. Instead, the
you
milk.
You know that I'm lactose intolerant.
The milk was used to make a batch of Lassie, a yogurt like milkshake. Mm. Dunya News reports 28 of the husband's extended family drank the Lassie. 28 of them, Craig.
You would think you'd only give them a small amount.
The family were rushed to hospital on Friday, where 11 of them passed away.
Wow.
Another two members of the family died the next day, Pakistani Observer reports. 15 people in total have now died.
So
the latest victim was a 7-year-old girl. That's sad.
So she's going to be murdered. They're going to kill her. They're going to put her death penalty.
She confessed to the poisoning, the Tribune said. Police official Awais Ahmad said she had been charged with murder. A man believed to be the woman's boyfriend, Shahid, and his auntie, Zarina Maya, were also arrested. Police have arrested Ajia Bibi, a man and his aunt, for being accomplices and charged them with murder, Ahmad said. So she denied the charges at a press conference on Monday, saying, Shahid told me that the poison to beverage, but I didn't do it.
What was that?
Shahid told me to poison the beverage, but I didn't do it. So she's claiming she didn't do it. Somebody else did.
Like, not me.
It wasn't me. Yeah. How's this?
The headline. You like that one?
Yes.
Pity the headline.
You should start each one with a catchphrase from 80s and 70s TV shows.
I got to think of them first.
What you talking about headline? That's a good one.
Yeah.
I pity the headline.
Huh?
Hey.
How about from the 70s? And from the 70s I could do, this one's all right. It's dynamite.
Yeah.
Would that work?
Yeah. What was one from Sanford and Son?
You big dummy.
I'm coming to get you, Elizabeth.
I'm coming, Elizabeth. You big dummy. Maui judge orders... Oh, this one's mine?
Yep.
Maui judge orders man to write 144 nice things about ex-girlfriend. Well, that's cruel. And
man, that is cruel. I couldn't come up with 144 nice things to say about anybody, right, really. Much less an ex-girlfriend.
This happened in Hawaii. A Maui judge has handed down...
Hey, as an experiment, let's try to come up with 144 nice things to say about each other before the next episode.
Nope. A Maui judge has handed down an unorthodox sentence to a man who pleaded no contest to violating his ex-girlfriend's protection order.
Craig doesn't get angry when I interrupt his stories. That's one.
Judge Rhonda Liu ordered Darren Young on Friday to write 144. What is this, third grade?
Number two.
144 in between paragraphs.
Number
144 compliments about his ex-girlfriend in response to the 144 nasty text messages and calls.
I love this.
That he's accused of sending her.
Number two, Craig has some really hot chips.
Hot chicks?
No, not chicks. Chips.
Oh, chips.
Your ghost pepper chips.
Lou told Young he is not allowed to repeat words when writing a nice thing for every nasty thing. He's trying to put a bunch of ums and and.
Number three, Craig introduced me to Give Me a Five.
Nobody knows what that is.
That's okay.
Okay.
I'm just making my list. Checking it twice.
Treasure hunt. $5 for stuff. The Maui News reports that 30-year-old Young received time served for spending 157 days in jail before sentencing. He was sentenced to the compliments... 2 years of probation. He was sentenced to the compliments?
Yeah, he's sentenced. That's his sentence. He's got to make 144 compliments.
I'm glad I got you here to decode
interpret.
This.
Interpret.
2 years of probation, $2,400 in fines, and 200 hours of community service.
Number four, Craig offers me seltzer water when we're at the alternate studio.
You brought your own. Young, I did offer him last week. I went and bought some seltzer water, and then you brought your own.
Yeah, but this alternative studio doesn't mind if we leave our seltzer water behind.
That is true, but you don't because you drink it all. Young told Lou he will not reach out to his ex-girlfriend again and is moving forward with his life.
Number five. That's a pretty nice shirt you got on, Craig.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah. Headline.
Notice I've not said one nice thing about you.
Headline is.
Oh, wait. I got one for you. Number one nice thing about Aaron. He's sitting a safe distance away from me.
Lamp posts are covered in airbags to stop smartphone zombies from bumping into them.
This goes back to probably was viral marketing, but the girl that fell into the fountain in the mall.
This drives me nuts. It's like. Instead of asking people, stop, or you're going to get hurt, they're like, just keep doing what you're doing. We're going to make it safer.
We can't babysit people walking
down the hall. Problem with, you know, in the past, and I'm going to get a little dark here, okay?
Okay.
In the past,
turn the lights down.
Folks, you know, the gene pool kind of took care of itself
yeah.
because idiots would,
correct.
You know, end up offing themselves.
Correctamundo.
Yes.
Go back to the 70s again.
Now, this is one of the reasons overpopulation's taken over, Craig, is because the idiots are protected from everything.
Yeah.
You know?
We need to wrap them in bubble wrap. I bet we could sell bubble wrap shirts.
I don't mean to be insensitive. You know?
I do.
I'd like a bubble wrap shirt. But I'd probably get hot, though.
No, we could sell these snowflake millennials
yeah.
bubble wrap clothing. They would think it was fashionable because they don't know any better. And they would also protect themselves.
You just have to tell them it's fashionable. Yeah. They'll believe you.
And it would also...
Put it on Facebook.
It would also protect them... From bumping into stuff.
Yeah. yeah. Lamp posts are being covered in airbags to stop so-called smartphone zombies bumping into them as they walk around staring at their screens in an Austrian city. You know, if you bump into enough poles, you're going to stop looking at your cell phone when you're walking around.
Get to the pole.
But now they won't. They got airbags all over the place.
You're going to hit the pole.
Salzburg authorities say tourists are decreasingly hurting themselves by not looking where they are going while checking their devices. Well, maybe they got too many poles up all over the place. Locals have described mobile phone users as smombies. Smombies.
Smombies.
The short form for smartphone zombie. They believe they're putting airbags on lampposts is a way of highlighting the need for people to be more careful when using their devices. No, they leave them off. That's the way people are going to be more careful using their devices.
How about you just walk?
It's kind of making me angry. Do you notice that? The action follows a warning from a local board which promotes safety in public and private life, known as the Board for Safety or for traffic safety. KFV expert Martin Fanner says...
KFC expert?
KFV expert Martin Fanner said, we are of the opinion that when people see this very public warning in the form of lamppost airbags of the dangers of not paying attention, they will change their behaviors. Local media interviewed phone users who said the airbags reminded them to take more care. Well, how about a billboard?
So, they're just basically putting padding around poles.
That's all they're doing.
It's not even an airbag. It's just padding.
That's right. Well, it is air. It's an air-padded bag.
So, what happens when that gets...
Popped?
Popped. Or
I don't know. I guess you hurt your nose or something. That's it. That's all I'm reading of that story because my blood pressure's
rising. But there's something about
rising.
China right there.
I don't care.
Okay. In China, I want to say this.
Oh, go ahead.
In China, there are special sections of certain pavements that are reserved for people using telephones and walking at the same time. In Honolulu, anyone crossing the road and looking at their phone will be fined.
That's the way it ought to be. Now, that's the way it ought to be worldwide.
That'll take care of it. There's a German city where they've started putting traffic lights on the ground where they can be more easily seen
night.
By people.
Look at that.
Staring at smartphones. There was an app one time that would actually make your... it would turn the camera on, whatever app it was.
Yeah, so you can see where you're walking.
See where you're walking.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. That was a good story.
Yeah.
Hey, was this one next one mine?
Yeah. I had the airbag on the lamppost story, remember?
I pitied the headline. Judge thinks suspect who asked for a lawyer dog
Asking
for a lawyer dog.
Hello, Angels. See, that could be one. Oh, I'm sorry. I messed up your headline because this is a good one, too. Reread that, please.
Judge thinks suspect who asked for a lawyer dog, D-A-W-G, was asking for a lawyer dog, D-O-G, in what must represent a new low for American jurisprudence. Even the fun-loving and sometimes unserious precincts of the great state of Louisiana, a concurring opinion from the Supreme Court of the Pelican State held that a suspect being questioned by police had not successfully invoked his Sixth Amendment right to an attorney when he said, according to police records, "Forget y'all. This is how I feel. If y'all think I did it, I know I didn't do it. And why you don't just give me a lawyer, dog? Because that's not what's up."
Good night. Look at that.
I didn't even get that right. The statement was deemed inadequate by Justice Scott Criden grounds that the defendant's ambiguous and equivocal reference to a lawyer dog does not constitute an invocation of counsel that warrants termination of the interview.
What a story.
Maybe it's because I'm a graduate of the University of Georgia, this Bulldogs School of Law, but I don't find lawyer dog ambiguous at all. That was a weird story.
I think you need to break that down because that's a lot of words when it...
So essentially what happened was the guy comes in and he wanted to invoke his Sixth Amendment right to an attorney, but he said it all street. Y'all, this is how I feel. If y'all think I did it, I know I didn't do it, so why don't you just give me a lawyer, dog? Because this is not what's up. So he talked all street and they're going, what?
Yes.
And so the statement was inadequate. The judge said, "Nope. It was ambiguous. It was just, you know, whatever." And they just didn't cop to it.
Okay, that's a good breakdown.
They didn't.
I understand it now.
They don't cotton to that.
In Florida, let's go back down south. Headline is: woman caught stealing cement pavers. Cement pond. Threatens to sue for back injury.
You tell the truth. When I mess up, I go back and do it again. You just keep going.
I just keep rolling.
That's why people think, great, he gets it right every time.
This comes to us from Port Richey, not to be confused with Newport Richey, Florida. A 54-year-old Florida woman was arrested Sunday after she was caught stealing cement pavers from a home
cement.
In Port Richey. How do you want me to say it? Cement?
Cement's what most people would say.
Deputies arrested Julianne Upright just after...
Wait. So okay. She wasn't lying down.
No, she was upright just after 5 p.m. on Woodbridge Court. When he found 42 cement decorative blocks. See, I can't say my other words if I don't say cement.
You really had a hard time saying cement decorative blocks.
When he found 42 cement decorative blocks worth $420 in her vehicle. The homeowner told detectives that he caught her taking the blocks without permission. They were part of a remodeling project and were stored in the front yard about 4 feet from the roadway, the owner of the house said. Upright says she thought they were trash, Craig.
What did she say when she was lying down?
She thought that he had put them out by the curb because they were trash. Deputy says she then threatened to sue the owner of the house because she had hurt
her back.
Probably
would win.
Probably, and today, the property while loading the blocks into her vehicle.
Vehicle.
To make matters worse, the deputy said the blocks were stolen within a county that was subject to a state of emergency declared by the governor under Chapter 252. That's a long book. Chapter 252. Wow.
That's quite long.
Hey, another spam story.
Hey.
Yeah.
Headline says.
Okay.
That's not bad.
No, that's not bad. You can do that one.
Headline says.
Yeah.
The Spampianship is the wildest cooking competition at the North Carolina State Fair.
I want to go try it.
I meant to bring you some spam.
I'd eat it.
Have you ever tried it?
Nope.
Don't say
never
so.
Never tried.
Don't speak so quickly.
Spiced ham. It's what it is.
That's what I said.
Yeah, spiced ham.
I told you that's what it was. In Raleigh, Pam Cash left Franklin County at 10 minutes till
should
10.
Should be spam Cash. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just waiting for you to get out of your system.
There you go. That's my pun.
Pam Cash.
Hey, don't you mean Spam Cash?
Spam Cash left Franklin County at 10 minutes till 10 o'clock Saturday morning on her way to the Great American Spam Competition at the North Carolina State Fair. Entries were due by 10 a.m.
She had a hurry.
They are still a neon streak on Main Street in Youngsville that a bloodhound could catch me on now, a hot trail.
Is that how she talks?
She's North Carolina.
Spam Cash.
Spash. Spash. She brought with her three entries, though she could only enter one, an appetizer,
entree,
and dessert.
What's a I wonder what you make.
I don't know. I don't want to know.
Spam dessert.
All made with Spam, the illustrious American mystery meat in a can. She settled on her entree, Szechuan Spam, with coconut and pineapple rice, served in coconut halves, and garnished with a whole pineapple.
I'm telling you, I would eat that up.
You've never tasted Spam.
No, I haven't. That just sounds delicious.
The other two she offered to passersby who quickly went into seizures and died.
Spammy cakes. You can make spammy cakes.
I can just say crap and you haven't listened.
I was looking at spammy cakes.
Whatever. Anyway, she offered the other two to passersbyers, converting spam phobics along the way and complimented its shelf life.
That's sure, good. It'll last a long time.
That sure is nice spam you've got there. It sure has a nice shelf life. Malleability. What's malleability?
You know, it stands up to heat.
I don't think that's what that means.
It's what it means right now.
Malleability. It's able. What?
I don't know. I don't know what she's saying.
It's able to be hammered or pressed permanently out of shape without breaking or cracking. That's
so is Play-Doh, but I don't eat it or make desserts out of it.
True. And economy. And also, my name is Pam, she said. So anytime Pam touches Spam, it's familiar territory.
She is out of her mind. She's had too much Spam.
At the state fair, famous for its deep fried creations and culinary acrobatics, and used to be, of fried Twinkies and Jell-O and cookie fry, Spam may be the hardest sell, but the fair's annual cooking competition, whose winner last year went on to be the national champion, is likely the most compelling entry point to the world of Spam. I still want to know about this deep fried stick of butter. I just don't understand.
Ugh,
that.
It just sounds doesn't even sound appealing to me.
When you crack it open,
if you want to commit suicide, you might eat something like that, right?
I don't know. You want to be first?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all I got for the spam thing.
Okay, good. Headline is Craig. Mystery man running around California City as Forrest Gump.
Is that against the law?
A mystery man in California City has become a social media star after dressing up as Forrest Gump and running through the streets.
We got one of those right down the street.
We really
have our own personal Forrest Gump.
Riverside residents say that they have been spotting the man dressed in the character Tom Hanks portrayed in the 1994 film running around the city for weeks. The man has become the talk of social media, even local police posting about their Gump sightings. It doesn't really matter who I am, Mama always said, the man told KABC-TV.
You're editorializing.
I'm not doing it for me. It's just something that took off and made the community happy. You know, it made people smile. Jenny.
That was nice. Jenny.
There's a lot of bad things going on in the world, and it's nice to take a break from it.
Wow.
I don't know how I would feel if I saw somebody, you know, running down the street all dressed up like a...
Yeah. I know you've been waiting to play this.
Yes. Gotta wait.
I know. You stopped before you got to hear him say kangaroo.
I was got to get to this.
What's wrong with you?
I didn't want you starting.
Oh, come on.
Watch out.
Oh.
Oh, the snake hole.
Freaky snake hole.
He said,
Freaky! That's enough of that.
A snake hole, man.
That's enough of that.
No, it's not.
Stop it. Snake catcher called a woman's home to remove rubber strap. An Australian snake catcher was called to the home of a panicked woman who spotted a serpent in her yard, but the supposed snake wasn't what it seemed. Stuart McKenzie, Bob and Doug's younger brother, of the snake catcher's 24/7 Sunshine Coast, said in a Facebook post that a Sippy Downs, a Queensland woman, called recently to request a snake removal in her yard. She rang and said, "Oh, I think there's a snake in my backyard. I'm sitting still
That's
for the
not
time.
A snake.
I'm sitting still for the time being. Can you get someone out as soon as possible?" McKenzie told the Sydney Morning Herald.
No, seriously, that's not a snake.
Yeah, seriously, that's actually not a snake. She seemed quite stressed over the phone, and I got someone there ASAP. Mackenzie wrote on Facebook. Mackenzie sent an employee to the woman's home to catch what was initially suspected to be a red-bellied black snake, but turned out to be a rubber strap. They both sort of had a laugh in the end. I think it was a bit. She was a bit relieved it wasn't a snake, he said. But yes. We also know he said, that's not a snake. That's not a snake.
Okay, I know you're not a sports guy, all right? But what if you went to the World Series, all right? Because you live right next to the stadium.
I don't live next to the stadium.
But if you did, you had an apartment next to the stadium, you go to the World Series.
I wouldn't do that, actually.
Headline is, World Series spectator sees his own apartment on fire from his seat. A man attending Game 2 of the World Series at Dodger Stadium took an additional spectacle when he noticed he could see his apartment, and it was on fire.
You think he did that double take, like he's looking behind him, looking forward?
Hey, y'all, look, a building on fire. Yeah. Wait a minute.
Hey, that's my house.
Firefighters responded to a 3-story residence in Echo Park, neighborhood of Los Angeles.
Where?
Near the state, Echo Park, to drop water from a helicopter and extinguish flames erupting from an upper floor balcony.
One of those grills, probably.
The fire department said the helicopter was already in the area to combat a 2-acre grass fire that broke out. I hope it still had some water near the stadium.
Yeah.
Firefighters said it took about 45 minutes to put out the grass fire and about 20 minutes to extinguish the apartment fire. No one was injured in either incident, and firefighters said the resident of the apartment wasn't at home at the time. You know why?
He was watching it from the... He was on the Jumbotron checking it out.
Dodger Stadium. So he was at the stadium to watch the game. They said the man could see the flames from his residence from his seat.
Headline says, Daredevil flies over South Africa in camping chair attached to balloons. This is not original.
It's not original. It's been done.
And Danny Deck chair.
We know it can be
it was
done.
A Danny Deck chair.
Why
Donnie
are people
Deck
still
chair?
Doing it?
And there's a guy in the 70s that did this. Or
yes. And remember, we had a story of a guy with the BB gun and the sheriff shot up. He was like passed
that
by
guy
planes.
That guy was accidentally did
yes,
that.
That was
an that guy wasn't looking. That,
no.
You know,
that was awesome.
A daredevil strapped about 100 helium balloons to a camping chair.
They must have been big balloons.
To take a vertigo-inducing flight over South Africa. Doesn't take that many because, you know, in Up, he had a bunch of balloons on his house. And it lifted the house off the
okay,
foundation.
Whatever.
Tom Morgan, 38, shared a video showing his magical flight using a camping chair attached to about 100 large helium balloons.
Look at me. I'm the first one to ever do something like this. No, you're not, Morgan.
Yeah, right. Morgan said it took 2 days for him to fill the balloons with help of his support team. Is that support team like mentally supporting him or?
They are athletic supporters.
Athletic supporters.
Yes.
The Daredevil said he had to abort 3 previous attempts in Botswana before his successful South American flight. The problem was finding a good weather window. Because, you know, most of the time windows don't have weather in them.
No, they do. Some eyes do at home.
And it was difficult to protect the balloons as they kept bursting.
Well, sure they did.
It's time for the Mark Patch Top 10.
Balloons get that high, they're going to pop. You know.
You think they pop, Georgie? Pop. You like it, Georgie?
Tonight's
that's the best one I can
tonight's
do.
Tonight's Mark Patch Top 10 Disturbing Facts About Popular Snack Foods.
Pop.
Now, this one may disturb us, Craig.
Yeah, it might, but then again, it may not.
All right.
Top 10 disturbing facts about popular snack foods. Number 10, Cheetos mess with your mind. Yeah, they do. That's why you wake up and you've eaten the whole bag.
Hey, exactly. They explain that.
According to food scientist Steve Witherly, Cheetos are an example of vanishing caloric.
Did you say caloric?
Yeah.
Like a caloric in your hair?
Caloric. I have a hard time. You know what? For my one word I mess up, you mess up 20, so shut up, McDonald's.
I know you do, but what am I?
When a food melts quickly in your mouth, it tricks the brain into thinking that no calories have been consumed. If your brain does not think you are consuming any calories, then it does not send a message to your stomach that you are full. Here's the deal.
Yeah.
You keep eating Cheetos because they're good. It's nothing to do with how full you are.
Number 9, pretzels are bathed in lye.
Wouldn't that be dangerous?
Those warm, soft pretzels that are perfect for tearing
they
into chunks and eating might have been dipped in a caustic chemical that is capable of dissolving glass.
Capable or capable?
Yeah, no, you can put a cap on it.
It's capable or capable? You want to talk about this? Number 8.
This one hurts me.
Okay, this one doesn't bother me because I knew this already.
But they're good.
They are good. Once you start on them.
Oh, my goodness.
Number 8 in the list of top 10 disturbing facts about popular snack foods. I'm sorry. This isn't disturbing. You should know this already.
I didn't know this till I read this.
Veggie straws lack veggies.
I didn't know that. I thought they were actually made of veggies.
Sensible Portions garden veggie straws, and they do, you can blow through them. They're like straws.
I know.
They're hollow, yeah, in the middle.
You can drink V8 juice through them. That makes them real good.
Ew, I don't like V8 juice. They're advertised as a healthy alternative to regular potato chips. As a result, they are facing a lawsuit. It turns out that garden veggie straws are not any healthier than a bag of Lay's classic potato chips, despite the bright pictures of spinach and tomatoes on their packaging.
Number 7. I did not know this one either. Jerky is a carcinogen.
I guess I'm going down then.
The World Health Organization has classified processed meats as a group 1 carcinogen, meaning that that convincing evidence exists that the meat causes cancer.
Well, what if I cook it in my smoker?
Processed meats, including jerky, have been linked to colorectal cancer.
You almost didn't say that.
I did.
Number 6. Gummy bears are more than just sugar and spice.
You know, I read this earlier. It doesn't bother me in the least.
These snacks are chewy and adorable. They also contain the leftovers from slaughterhouses.
I don't care.
Gold bears from Haribo are the original gummy bears.
And
their
delicious.
Nutrition page lists gelatin as the ingredient responsible for the trait. Okay, here's the deal.
I don't care.
Gelatin is animal collagen.
Yeah.
Okay. They soak the animal hide like in lime or something.
I don't know.
They separate it out. Go look it up.
Do they put the lime in the coconut before they do that?
Well, they put the lime in the animal hide and they mix it all up. But here's the deal. Anything with gelatin in it.
Yeah.
Anything.
Jell-O.
Whether it's flan, Jell-O, gummy bears.
Oh.
I don't care
what's in it.
Whatever's got gelatin in it.
They could tell me there's a dead mouse in that gummy bear, and I'd still be eating them.
Hey.
Yeah.
There's a dead mouse in that.
Number 5 doesn't affect me because I don't even know what these were. Takis can erode your stomach lining.
I've had these.
Takis are mini rolled up corn chips that come in a variety of flavors. In particular, the spicy flavors have become a hit, especially among kids. But this obsession is sending people to the hospital, and some spicy snack food brands have even been banned.
He likes these.
Does he really?
Yeah.
I'll try them.
They've got one flavor that tastes like, I don't know, I can imagine it tastes like grass clippings.
Nope.
It's really nasty.
I don't want that.
But the other ones are good. The
okay.
ones that are more spicy,
maybe I'll
chili
try them.
Type flavor. Okay, we ready?
Yeah, number 4.
Number four.
Yeah, go ahead.
Number 4.
Yeah, number 4.
Number quattro. French fries, you know, the French ones.
Love them.
Are worse than you thought.
No,
I'm
not.
Pretty sure I was thinking they were pretty bad.
That doesn't matter again.
Due to
like
their high
bears.
Sodium and fat content, French fries are not considered a healthy snack
Who
choice to begin
they were?
With. I don't know. But they also contain a chemical called acrylamide.
I think
acrylamide,
so. That's how I'd say it.
First found in certain foods in 2012. It was
nope,
recognized
2002,
as
2002, but go ahead.
What did I say?
12.
Yeah, that's what I meant. 2002. Was recognized as a major concern for humans based on its ability to cause cancer in laboratory animals. Well, guess what? Laboratory animals don't eat French fries.
Yeah, and we're not laboratory animals. They're different. Our
yeah.
bodies work differently. Hello.
And when we're done with the test,
yeah.
they don't euthanize us.
No, they don't.
They don't dispatch
us. Is this all
us.
French fries? Not all French fries contain acrylamide.
Whatever.
Number 3.
You can't say any better than I can.
Number 3. Fruit snacks are no better than candy.
Yeah, but fruit roll-ups are yummy.
Fruit snacks lack dietary fiber, an important nutrient supplied by fresh fruit. If you eat just 2 small pouches of Welch's fruit snacks, you have consumed the same amount of calories and sugar that are in a pack of Starburst.
See, and the tragedy here is not that you've eaten those thinking they were healthy and you've had as much as sugar as you get in a pack of Starburst.
Yeah.
It's the fact that you chose Welch's fruit snacks over Starburst. Quite honestly.
Yes.
Number 2, check your cheese sources. I hear that every day.
Check your cheese sources.
Check your cheese sources. Some cheeses are made using an enzyme called Rennet. This enzyme curdles the milk during the process of making the cheese. It can be found in the 4th stomach of young calves and other milk-fed young mammals. Well, that explains why I always have to reach into the stomach of cows to get my cheese.
Yeah. And the number 1, top 10 disturbing facts about popular snack foods.
Wait 1 second.
I was on a roll.
We're going to clarify this.
James, you're on a roll.
We're going to clarify
Okay,
this.
Go ahead.
This is misleading.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
We're going to circle back around.
But most people...
I know.
Okay, number 1, popcorn can damage your lungs.
Wrong.
Popcorn is one of the oldest known snacks. Archaeologists have found evidence that popcorn was made as early as 6,700 years ago in Peru. Back then, popcorn was made by resting a cob on hot coals or heating it directly over a flame. Today, microwave popcorn...
There's the main operative.
Amen. ...makes it easy to enjoy the snack without building a fire or turning on your stove. Anyone who has ever popped a bag of popcorn in the microwave knows how good it smells. But the buttery flavoring that smells so good contains chemicals. Inhaling these chemicals has been proven to cause damage to the lungs. Workers in microwave popcorn manufacturing plants have developed popcorn lung. You can also get that in other ways, too, though.
Yep.
Vaping will
yep.
give you
if
that.
If you were a listener of ours and you were vaping, welcome to Popcornville, because your lungs are going to get popcorn lung.
After being exposed,
and we don't want that to happen, do we?
After being exposed to the chemical vapors on a regular basis, popcorn lung refers to a condition where the smallest airways of the lungs are damaged and become narrower, making it, Craig, harder to breathe.
But the thing is, you know.
Not do just, I?
Huh?
Do I know?
I'm just saying, you know, if you're vaping, you're doing the same thing. The thing is, the chemicals at the workers at the factories were getting
yes.
popcorn lung.
Yeah, some of them were awarded big bucks.
And here's what I would say. Do what I did. Go out and buy yourself the classic stir-crazy popcorn popper.
And pop
make,
it up.
Make it on the stove. It's better anyway. Hey, you know what?
Hey, thanks for listening to episode 120.
120, we're only 80 away from the next landmark.